Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you guys from Phoenix, Arizona. Holy hell, is today a good episode. Luke Bug is on the show, aka the Geek of Steel himself. Luke and I discuss so many things about Superman. We discuss about the character, the mythos a little bit too. We also talk a lot about creativity this episode. This one hit home for, I think, both of us, to say the least here. Luke is an amazing guy. He does so much great work on Instagram, especially for the Superman mythos and the character and Twitter and all the stuff that he does, the blog and the podcast, all of it. We talk about it, but we do talk a lot about creativity and inspiration stuff for fellow artists. And maybe if you're not an artist, it's still motivational, inspirational to you guys too. So we hope you guys enjoy the episode. Make sure you go check him out on social media as well. Big shout out to him for coming out of the show. And as well, guys, make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or comiccronicle.podbean.com in order to stay tuned for new episodes every Monday, of course. So everyone, thank you for tuning in to this episode. Subscribe, share the show, hashtag Comic Chronicle or hashtag the Comic Chronicle podcast on Instagram, Twitter, whatever it may be. It helps out greatly, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. And without further ado, my very fun talk with Luke. We are recording. Welcome to the show. And might I say, it is a complete honor to have you here today.
Dakota, it was an honor. You reached out to me a few weeks ago, and I'm having fun recording my own podcast, but it's nice to be invited onto another one, as there's a lot less work involved.
It's very true. You know, I didn't realize until like a few months ago I got invited to talk about a book series I'm writing, and I realized, like, wow, I can just sit here. I don't have to worry about editing. What?
there's no sound technician. There's no producer. There's no admin. You can just sit back and chat. It's fantastic.
Isn't it? I do love doing it on my end of things, too. It's fun no matter what you do. I think, and by the way, I got to say, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, to say the least.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Oh, loved you forever, man. It's one of those where, when did you start? What year did you start kind of doing the Geek of Steel sort of stuff?
Well, the Geek of Steel really took over a few years ago. I've mentioned my origin story a few times, where Instagram is where it all kicked off for me. I got myself an iPhone and it was fun, and someone suggested Instagram to download. At the time, I used that just as a way to document my collection and film, sort of take pictures of things, so I didn't buy the same thing twice. And then started using hashtags, and then was finding like-minded people from pretty much around the world, and I was like, wow, I'm not the only person that is not only obsessed with superheroes but obsessed with Superman as well. And then, yeah, one year I sort of became the Geek of Steel, online persona,
which it sounds like it just happened to that thing where kind of happened to me a little bit, where it's like you do a couple things and the next thing you know people are like, oh, you're this, like, wait, what happened? Like it is intentional birth of something, and you're like, oh god.
My original username on Instagram was LS Bug. Now Instagram, obviously their name, that's my name, Luke Spencer Bug. I thought that'll do for me. But all the letters on Instagram, they're lowercase. So lots of people were getting my name confused with IS Bug. So I was being tagged in the wrong things, and people were getting upset when I wasn't replying to their comments. So I sat down and sort of think, right, let's pick a new name as such. And the Geek of Steel sort of happened. I'm not too sure how it happened, but it definitely worked for me. And then the blogging came with it, and then this whole adventure sort of took off.
Yeah, you, because I have been a fan for years. I was thinking, like, has it been years? Sometimes when you take a look at some stuff and realize, oh, it's been a long time. And that's one of those things. It's like, oh, my fandom goes back a lot longer than I thought.
Do you remember when you followed me? That's the question. God.
I want to say, part of me wants to say 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Okay, because I've been on Instagram for a while, as I said, but it was when I really sort of sat down and thought, I'm enjoying this, but I want to get more out of it. I want to do more. I think it was 2018, sort of new year, new me, all that sort of business.
What is that?
So got a website, got a laptop, and pretty much spent the most of 2018 emailing companies, saying yes to every opportunity that came my way, and being persistent, really. Polite and persistent. That's my attitude.
Which is the best way to do about it in this world, especially. And I gotta say, it was when I started seeing you with people like Zachary Levi, might I add, and all this other jazz, I'm like, wow, okay. I am applauding from across the pond because I'm like, yes, go for it. People are like, whoa, why are you applauding? He's technically comp. I'm like, no, it's one of those where I'm applauding them because of what you do, Luke, too. It's like, because what you do with the character of Superman, and obviously you've seen the logo of the show, I would hope, so you kind of know.
Yes, sir, I have. I'm a fan of the shirt rip.
Thank you. And it's like, it's not, people have often told me, and believe it or not, people are like, oh, you just use it because it's a classic logo. I'm like, no. There is, on social media, I posted about it years ago. I even wrote an article for it. It's Superman and all the Supes family are like my favorite. And they are my favorite because without them and without the persona and like the meaning and the messages and whatnot, there would be no me here today. There would be nothing like that. Like, there's some dark paths, but the light came through, to say the least, because of that character. And an article I wrote years ago for a company called, it was the title article was Superman Saved My Life. And it was this whole thing on like depression, suicide awareness, all this other jazz and whatnot for the character and what it did. So I'm like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Superman logo. And it made my producer not happy, to say the least. He's like, you want to take the most influential logo and turn it into something for the show? I'm like, yes. He's like, okay, I like that. But that's going to be a pain in the butt. And it's like, you want to bring like the show is with what you do all the time, and it's why I'm always a fan. Like, whenever you post one, I'm always like, that's amazing. And you do always make the most fun, I'm not gonna lie, amazing stuff all the time.
Thank you. I mean, it's Instagram, you know, it's, at the end of the day, it is a free app that could go away tomorrow if the powers of B wanted to lose it. But I've had a lot of fun on there. I've met some amazing people. I've had situations that, I won't lie, I never thought could possibly happen for me.
Yeah.
And also through it, you know, I've met my girlfriend.
Really?
So that was one of the, you know, a slight perk of being on Instagram.
Just a slight? She listens, she's going to be like, a slight look?
She'll be listening to this, so I'll most probably be in trouble. Fantastic memories on Instagram. Fantastic memories, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Exactly, and it's not like it is a page of negativity. I don't really recall seeing that much of negativity when you do a Geek of Steel stuff, like, ever. Like, I don't really, and there may be some on there you don't really mention or whatnot, it's fine, but I love it because this is positivity that you bring. That's why when, like, I thought about, like, let's see if Luke will come on the show, because what you do is brilliant. Like, you do Geek of Steel, you have the merchandise coming out now, you got the website, like, I never would have thought. Shit, I'm still trying to work on t-shirts myself, but...
Well, that's the thing. T-shirts, that's been an interesting adventure in itself as well. People were sort of asking me, have you got merchandise? And I was like, who wants to buy something with the Geek of Steel on it? Turns out, they do. And I was dumbfounded, and I was over the moon when, you know, people wanted to get the pins made. And this was when they were just regular, basic pins. It's a little badge, but now with the help from Mike from Cape Justice Jewelry, he, without me knowing, we've been pals for a while, so he had my address because we send each other gifts now and again, and he made me some Geek of Steel actual pins that have just been very popular, and they're going around the world, which is, I keep getting these wonderful photographs when they land for their forever homes, and it blows me away that there's a place in America in the middle of nowhere that I didn't know exist, and my little pin, my baby, the Geek of Steel, is on someone's bag or lapel. And even today, I sent one off to Ohio, the home of Superman, and Puerto Rico yesterday, which was fun. But I'm very proud of it. That's the thing. And going back to you talking about the positive side of me. There's negativity. Yes, I have bad days, and I have days when I don't want to get out of bed. We all get those days. But Instagram for me has always been a safe and fun place. There are pages that share negativity. There are pages that want to do that, and that's fair enough. That's their page. But my page is my own, and that's what I want to do. Is I want it to be a fun place where people can be entertained. I hope I'm entertaining. I've always said as long as I'm making one person smile with one of my silly posts or memes, then I'm going to keep on doing it.
It's true. And I love the love you have for Henry Cavill, by the way. I love it with a passion. Because it's like, I feel it. You bring to life everything I feel, and it's really amazing. Because it's like, because you make a post with Henry Cavill, especially with The Witcher coming out recently.
Oh my god, I'm so ready for that.
Yes, and it's like, he is basically, you're taking my feelings and making them a reality. Like talking about, I'm like, yes, so, Luke is like the British version of me, and I love it.
Well, when Man of Steel came out, this was before really I was doing anything on Instagram. I was aware of Henry Cavill. He'd been in a few TV shows, you know, and I was like, okay, this is a new face. This is a British guy taking on my favorite superhero. I am ready for this.
Right.
And I loved what he did from day one. And I will continue to fight his corner. I want a Man of Steel 2. I want him to keep on working because he's a fantastic actor. And I was at London MCM Comic Con last week, and I managed to be at a panel for The Witcher, and it was the biggest panel that MCM put on, and there was not an empty seat in the house. And he wasn't there. I was really hoping that he was going to just surprise turn up, but I had a fantastic time, and we got to see some exclusive footage of the show. Sort of no cameras were allowed to be turned on. Everything was being a very sort of under lock and key. But the footage we saw was phenomenal, and there's rumors now that the show is going to get 7 seasons. I'm all for it, because I've got a lot of faith in Henry and a lot of faith in the producers and writers of this show. And it looks fantastic, and I'll be the first to admit I don't know that much about The Witcher. In fact, on an episode of the podcast of Steel soon, I've got a Witcher specialist coming on to give me a one-on-one lesson on all things that I need to know before the show starts. And I feel that I'm going to get heavily into the whole world because it just sounds amazing.
I am okay. That has me extremely excited, to say the least, here, because I know about the games, but the books I know completely different, and I know the show's based mostly on the books. So that's where I fall flat, and I'm like, okay, I need to know, like, what is, so you're definitely going to have a viewer or listener for that one, because I want to know more.
I mean, I'm aware of some of the references. I know there's that funny, they had that clip of him in the bathtub, that was a big thing from the game, I know, but the adventure, the action, and the music that we got to listen to, it's definitely got a movie style quality to it. And yeah, people are throwing around things such as, oh, it's the next Game of Thrones. If it is, that's all great. But to me, it looks like a brand new story with brand new characters, and Henry Cavill just absolutely owning each and every scene that he's in, because he knows the character, he knows the story, and the boy knows how to handle a sword. Wow, he's good with his hand-to-hand combat, but now he's added swordsmanship to his resume, and it looks fantastic.
It does help. He's like 99% muscle. So, I mean,
he's not a skinny lad.
No, no, not in the slightest. There was a play recently I was in, The Wolves of Sherwood. Shout out to them. We did it like 3 months of combat training, and we did swords, and I did swords, staff, and hand to hand. And I was always like, you know, I always wanted to try that, and I did. I'm like, you know, I don't know if I want to do that again. Like, wait a minute.
It looks intense. It does look, but you know, if anyone is set for a physical challenge, it is Henry Cavill, because he dives into every role that he's given. And they said at the panel that he was adamant that he was going to have a stunt double, and even though they didn't like that much, I think it may have been in his contract that most of the stunts would be done by himself, because he wanted it to look genuine, because he knows what the fans want. I feel he's a geek.
Yeah,
you know, at his core, he is a huge geek. So, I think he's gonna put a lot of people. He's gonna entertain a lot of people. Put it that way.
Very, and as soon as I heard the casting announcement, and folks at home, we'll get back to Superman in a minute, but I just thought about that, like, wait a minute. The fact is, when he got announced as it, I'm like, good, because I remember, I instantly had that memory of him getting the call to play Superman, and he ignored it by Zack Snyder because he was playing World of Warcraft. I'm like, that is the man we want to be in The Witcher.
I love that story.
Oh, it's amazing, because as an actor myself and a fellow film worker, like, I do crew and acting jobs. I've had that before where it's like, I had this one time I got a call for a really big gig and I had no idea about it. I was playing Halo and I'm just sitting there just like, my buddy's playing Halo. And I'm like, it's fine. It's like, my phone's blown up. I got like 3 emails. It's fine. I'll just get to it. It's like 9 o'clock at night. It's fine. And then like the next day I'm like, oh no.
Just one more game. Then I'll answer that email. Just one more game.
Listen, man, we all know there's no such thing as one more game. There is none. It's 9 o'clock at night, you're going till 5 in the morning. That's, and if you're with your buds, yes, that's especially the case.
Oh. That's it. I'm a gamer when I do get a chance to play games. Mm. And for years, going back to like the late 90s, I've been a fan of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Not the most superhero-based game to enjoy, but for gameplay, for story, for characters and visuals, I've been a fan for that from the get-go. And there's lots of rumors floating around lately that there's going to be a new Grand Theft Auto coming out. And if that does happen, and when it does happen, yeah, the Geek of Steel will not be posting much for about a month.
Oh, God.
On vacation.
That is, I mean, you could post, but it would be very confused on what. Oh. I'm imagining
and that's
now.
The thing. It's that would be difficult. I mean, I'm all. That's what I try to do. It's my page, so essentially, yes, I could post whatever I want to. Tomorrow, I could turn my page into a food review account, and I would probably lose a lot of followers. But if that's what I've learned over the years, is that I've started slowly moving away from Superman, but obviously Superman is an absolutely huge part of my life. Yeah. So there'll always be some element. I mean, even my username, come on, it's based on the Man of Steel.
Yeah.
But I've grown more as a person and as a blogger by embracing new things, whether that be new comics or new stories or new films. You know, there's a lot of art and culture out there. And if we open our eyes to it, then we don't know what we're going to fall in love with, per se. I mean, there's a lot of geekness in the world, and I'm all for it. And the bigger geek I am, the more happier I am. So, yes, I've evolved slightly over the years than just being a Superman fanboy. But things like The Witcher now, I'm starting promoting that across my pages because I want the world to be excited about it. And I've gained more followers. I'm the Witcher community on Twitter. I have been very, very welcoming, and I've explained to these people, look, I don't know much about The Witcher. I'm going to a panel today. I will come back and I can tell you as much as I can. And they've all just been very welcoming, which is sometimes a bit daunting when you are sort of, it would be like me going to a Star Trek page that I know nothing about and saying, hi guys, I've got some Star Trek news.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about it? And that could be, you know, it could be a scary moment, but there's some fantastic people that have been very welcoming, and it's only sort of inspired me to branch out into new adventures.
Yeah, which is always a good thing to do too, is it's always fun to have, it's nice to have that set in stone theme of what we do as creatives, but we also branch out. Like, we got to take that new adventure. You got to know what's coming. I mean, like, 2 years ago, would you say, oh, you're going to be doing, like, if future you goes back in time, there's a crisis happening, you see past self, and a little reference there, and they say, oh, yeah, you're going to be talking about The Witcher, or you're going to be talking about, like, all this other stuff, too, like, the other branches that are coming off right now, and what would be happening. I mean, would you even believe it?
I would. It's something, when I'm not blogging and emailing and doing things, I'm always writing, whether it be in notebooks, journals, or diaries. And if something, anything exciting happens in the blogging world for me that I'm a part of, I would take time to write that down so I can go back and look at basically what I have achieved off my own back. Mm-hmm. And going back, say, and speaking with a 10-year-old Luke and saying, Luke, right, in the future, people are going to send you comics to read. They're going to send you DVDs to review. And you're going to you'll be invited to a place and interview Zachary Levi. I would, of course, be freaked out by the fact that I'm seeing an older version of myself, for one.
Yeah.
But I'm still pinching myself every single day. I am unbelievably grateful for the opportunities that have come my way, and also the opportunities that I have worked to get. And I think that's the bottom line of it, is that I'm sometimes not the best at not only congratulating myself, but saying, well done, that was a good job. And sometimes, yes, I have the good and the bad days. But by using this book and having a sort of a good close circle of friends and my wonderful girlfriend, they put me in my spot and say, look, you're doing good. You're not an idiot.
Yeah.
You're making content, and I'm having a fun time doing it. Mm. And that's what I've always been about, is the fact that I want to have fun in a positive and polite way, but be inclusive. I want to take everybody that wants to look at what I'm getting up to, I want that person to come with me on my adventure. That's what it's always been about for me.
And they do. And I mean, I vouch as a big fan. I do. You know, we do. And that's what's the beautiful thing about it is. And also on that Zachary Levi note, by the way, the cherry on top is not just meaning Zachary Levi, but Zachary Levi Shazam. But
yeah, that was, it was a whirlwind couple of weeks. I was, even looking back at that now, it still makes me smile, because it was just an unbelievable time.
Yeah.
And a definite huge highlight of my blogging career. It's one that obviously I would always go back to talk about if asked, because I'm fully aware that that is not something that happens every day.
Hey folks, Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break for you guys today. Do you guys like reading comics? Obviously, if you listen to the show, you do. What the fuck am I talking about? Then you guys, if you're in Arizona, which a good majority of the fan base is, shout out to the ones in Canada though, you guys can go to Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, located at 5801 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. I gotta say, folks, I've been going here for a long time now. I've been to a few different comic book stores in Arizona in my 6 years of living here so far, and this may change due to the recording nature, but whatever. So I love going to Drawn to Comics. I really do. Ken, who runs it, is amazing, fucking laid-back dude. He's a wonderful guy. He's been on the show, ladies and gentlemen, before. And it's a really fun place to pick up the book. So Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, get yourself a box, you know? Go in, maybe just check it out. It's a fun place to escape into. His work, all the workers there are fucking wonderful folks. They really are. It's just like family at this point, at least they are for me. And it's a fun world to go into. There's collectibles there. There's toys. There's comics. You know, and you just get your box and reserve some books and whatnot. We've had people on the show who've written and drawn comics, you know. Go in and pick up their work, folks. Jesus Christ. It ain't that difficult. So go to Drawn the Comics in Glendale, Arizona, folks. You guys can check them out also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks, everyone. Now back to the show. No, and I do got to say the post, too, is that they do reach people and we want to see where you're traveling and whatnot, too. But I think also, and the fact is, we don't ever tend to realize how inspirational our stuff may be between you and I, especially all the stuff we do, and other people listening who do work at Marvel, DC, Indie Comics. There's a lot of filmmakers who do listen to the show, too. Is we never take a look at that factor. And I've recently opened my eyes up to that, especially being a book writer, being published at this moment. And hear what people have to say about the comic, the podcast right now, this one, Film World, is the inspiration that it can bring to people. And affects people on a level where you have no idea. You know, I find it fascinating, the stories that sometimes, I mean, I don't know if anybody ever tells you any at all, but I get some sometimes sent to me or people come up to me in person and tell me, and it's one of those things where it's like it blows me out of the park. And I think if, as creatives, if we take a look and actually remember that fact that, hey, if people are liking your stuff, there's going to be some inspirational and motivational stuff with that. So keep your eye open and ears open for that, because
and that's it. I mean, yeah, I've always been inclusive. I've always been open in the fact that, look, you can, if you need somebody to talk to, please send me a message, send me an email.
Yeah.
I might take some time to reply to it, but I will reply to it. Mm. And as you said about sort of inspiring people, I mean, when the first, I have heard that, and it throws me back every single time.
Right.
As I said, I was at London MCM Comic Con last week, and a guy reached out to me through Instagram and said, I'm going to be at London MCM Comic Con. Would it be okay if I was to sort of come and find you? And I was like, I'm more than fine with that. I go to Comic Cons as you know, as a geek to have a fantastic day. I would combine that with some work, but the majority of the time is me walking around the con having a great time.
Hmm.
And this guy was called Daniel, and he said, look, this is my first ever con. And we met up, we hugged it out, we had a selfie. And then he sort of stopped and said, you've inspired me to make this my first Comic Con. I look at your posts and see what you do and where you've been. And he explained how he sometimes has issues with anxiety. And it was a big step for him to sort of go to one of the biggest cons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just blown away that he said these wonderful words to me. And we've been chatting online now. And he's a great kid. So when I bumped into him, I sort of pretty much threw merchandise his way. I was like, dude, you get everything. This is for you. You are the reason I am doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You are the reason I want to make people happy through my geeky content.
Yeah, and it's not like it's like a Batman and you're making people happy through like, oh, he's punching people. It's like, no, you're making people happy with hope, you know, and inspiration, motivation. Like, that's what I think is beautiful about it all, is that the Superman logo, just the logo itself. Have you ever seen the documentaries on that?
Oh, and there's not enough.
No, there's not. There's not. And it's like the thing that gets me every time. And it's true, is people listening, you may not know, is like when they do video footage of maybe a country in rebellion, fighting against a dictator or something like that, or whatever it may be, there's always one. There's always a hat or a t-shirt, or maybe there's multiple. And that should tell you something. That should, I don't think the creators of Superman would have ever guessed that, to say the least.
And that's it. And I mean, there are films out there, again, talking about where Superman started from.
Yeah.
And that story of how it was created, that is a movie that I have spoken about on a previous podcast, and a movie that I will be in as well, which is, it's going to be set in Ohio. It's a documentary and sort of all about how Superman was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
And wow.
I want to go to Ohio, not only to sort of see where Superman, my hero, was, you know, created in that Eureka moment, but I want to be on the same streets as where those guys lived, so I can just, you know, that is my pilgrimage. I want to go to sort of see where my boy was crafted.
That's like the final step of like, all right, we're almost complete. It's like, on this grand tour, on the world tour, where am I going to go next? Metropolis, Illinois, check. Iowa, check. Crap. It's like,
but that's it. I do want, I mean, and that's it. I do eventually one day want to travel the world. There is so much world out there to see.
Oh, yeah.
And there are geeky places out there. There's a superhero restaurant in Singapore that gets DC licensed. So they've got like merchandise from wall to wall. You can get superhero themed snacks and milkshakes. And, you know, it's one of those things where once you open your eyes to the geekiness of the world, you can find lots of new adventures.
Oh, amen to that.
Positivity, that is the basis of what my page is about.
Yeah.
It's positivity. It's about embracing what makes you happy and just sharing, you know, a little bit of happiness in the world. There's enough negativity and bad stuff on the internet, and I just want to do my bit to make it a bit nicer.
Oh, yeah. That's same here, Luke. Is that we do? It's amazing to hear that, because honestly, the same here. Always doing the show, doing the films, doing the comics. To, you know, I've thought about that since I was a kid. It's like, I grew up in Illinois for a while, so saw some very interesting stuff outside of Chicago, say the least. Yeah, so it was one of those, like, let's change the world, because we need it. And so I figured, like, okay, what can we do? I was like, well, I thought about the military for a while, did some Air Force stuff, actually went to Great Lakes Navy Base, did some stuff over there. And by the way, in the recent Frank Miller storyline, where he did that, I was like, oh, a new level of relation has happened with Clark. But also, I am curious, it makes me think for a minute here, is how long is it going to take for you to get either Frank Miller or some of the people from Smallville on your podcast?
Right. Well, you've got the exclusive right now. Not Smallville as such, but okay. Next week, well, this week actually, this coming Sunday, the 10th of November, Susan Eisenberg, the voice of Wonder Woman from the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited and Justice League films, is a guest on the podcast of Steel.
Oh,
and that's, I can't stop smiling about it, man. We've talked online for about 6 months now. Jeez. And we've become like internet buddies, as she put it, and that just like made me tingle. But she said some very nice, inspiring words after the podcast finished. Some words that will be kept for myself in times of doubt, because she has inspired me to really push myself with the podcast, because I've really been enjoying it. And I've reached out to a lot of people over the last few weeks. So, yes, eventually, you know, I would love, absolutely love to speak with every single person that ever worked on Smallville, acted on Smallville, because that world, that show, it means the world to me. But I really want to speak to anybody who's passionate about anything. Like right now, Dakota, this is, I love this. This is, you know, speaking to people that are passionate. It's inspiring. Right. Once you speak to someone that's got a passion about something, it makes you want to talk back and maybe fill that hole that you didn't know needed filling with a passion.
Yeah.
And going from having just an Instagram page, you know, I've gone over to Twitter and I've got the Facebook and the YouTube, and people say, well, you do a podcast. And I was like, I could give it a go, but do people really want to listen to me waffling on? And the first few the episodes of the podcast, it was that. It was just me talking about life, talking about me as a blogger, my sort of anecdotes and stories and mishaps in life. But when I had my first guest on, I was like, this works. It's a much more open environment, and I've interviewed a few comic artists by email, and that's nice. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
But you don't tend to get that tone. You can't really feel the room and take one question and lead it on to another. So as soon as I started inviting guests on, it was all about what interesting answers could I get. And I'm all for asking questions. I'm a bit of a nosy bugger, so I do always ask questions in the hope that I'll get a juicy answer. And I found sort of a knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a talent that I didn't really know I had, but one that I've really enjoyed. And yeah, so I started the podcast at the beginning of 2019, and I made a promise to myself that I would get a celebrity on before episode 50, and Susan will be on episode 25. So I managed to half my goal, but I'm very happy and very honoured that she came onto the podcast, because we had a wonderful chat, and she is just an absolutely inspiring person in my life, and I'm very thankful to her to say that I know Wonder Woman.
It's weird. It's weird to be able to tell yourself that, but it's also, one, that is a beautiful story, Luke, and it's beautiful, and it's why you should have, no wonder people were telling you should have a podcast. It makes sense, because one, you got the voice for it too, I will give you that, and you do cover such a big thing, and you are that guy who you could just sit and listen to. Like, I'm just sitting here listening like, oh my god, Luke, like, alright, this is amazing. And Susan Eisenberg coming on.
I'm talking too much, though.
No. You're not at all. Trust me. It is absolutely fine.
I start talking sometimes. I don't stop. So I should remember that.
If only we had shows where we could do this.
I know, it really would be good, wouldn't it?
No, yeah. But I relate hard with that too, of Susan Eisenberg. I never had her on the show. I've never been, but I've heard so many good things about her. And there's been people I've had on my show, like my first guy way back when, 2 years ago, back when the Comic Chronicle podcast was just me reviewing comics and talking about certain subjects. Like one was why we needed She-Hulk, a movie or TV show. So that aged pretty well. But
oh, dear.
Yeah, and it was like, why we need it. And it's like, and now they're like, we have it. And I was like, yeah. And Twitter was like, oh, that's okay. I'm like, no, you fools. But yeah, I'm a big supporter of She-Hulk. But the first guy I ever had on was Cameron Bowen. And he, oh. Yeah, do you recognize the name at all?
I'm coming up, because I was actually doing some research today. I was listening back to a few of your podcasts. Mm. And you've had a lot of comic creators on and sort of animated guys, and it's an impressive list. And again, to sort of see where you started from, as you said, just talking about comics and reviewing comics, You know, you've done a really good job, Dakota. It's an inspiring list of names that... And so what number, may I ask, is this podcast going to be?
This comes out... We're recording on the 5th. I don't mind putting that information out there. And... So, folks at home, make sure you turn in the Luke Show, because it should be out by now. This comes out on the 10th, or not the 10th, the 11th, I believe. So this will be 120?
I see that, but even in that time, you've got a lot of names under your belt. And have you gone back and listened to your first podcast?
I have, and people have. And it was also, I felt almost embarrassed, but then I did it, and I was like, I like it. All right, this is amazing.
It's how you know. It's how you grow. I've gone back and looked at some of my very early Instagram posts, and they're very cringy. But that is still the element of what makes us us. So I've gone back and listened to my first few podcasts, just snippets, just to see where I could improve and what works and what doesn't. I've learned to slow down, because at first I was speaking very, very fast, and I'm aware that I do have an accent, so I've learned to reel that back a little bit, so it's not as loud and excitable. But when I do get excited, I do tend to mumble.
We have our things, man. You know, there's been people I've had on the shows where, and like, accents, you can do it. Like, if you want to go hardcore accent, you can. I remember I should have said on the show, but I don't ever critique people on that and be like, hey, you know, or whatnot, because I don't mind. That's what the beauty of this show is. We don't mind that at all. And my producer and the network I'm on, it's fine. Like, I've had people from Guatemala on the show and all this sorts of stuff. But, man, it's one of the things I always like to say is you need to remember where you come from. And there's a perfect quote that you will love with a passion is always remember Smallville. And that hits home more than I always think.
My absolute ultimate quotes. And when I was lucky enough to meet Mr. John Schneider, my very favorite Parkhead, we hugged it out, and he signed. I've got a that was given to me as a very sweet gift of the pilot episode of Smallville, and I'm trying to get every person that is able to sign it to sign it. And John wrote, "Always hold on to Smallville" on it, and I was like, I was going to ask you to sign that anyway, so thank you so much.
That is brilliant. Oh,
that is it. No, she said that quote. It means the world. It's remember where you came from,
exactly,
not where you're going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It truly is. And as a guy myself, I come from when we moved to a smaller town in Illinois, we had the mixture of the city and the crops. And so we had like half a Smallville almost. So we had the metropolis and we had the Smallville. I always thought about that. Yeah, it was weird. It was a little bit, So we had that small town feel for a lot of it too, and also the small town events happening that I don't get here in Arizona. And when I moved, it was an immediate factor. Like, I related hard to the fact of, like, okay, everyone thinks I'm weird here because I moved my junior year of high school, like a new brand place in the big city in the West Coast. And everyone's like, he's flirty all the time. I'm like, no, it's just my natural charismatic nature. what do you want here? And it was like that weird thing. So it was always like, always remember where you came from. Like, I still got my best friends for 15 years still over there. And it's like, you always have to do it. And you always have to really remember truly. Because if you forget, I've mentioned it so many times to people on the show. And some people have said it without me even mentioning it, is remember your childhood you. Because that And always hold on to that, because if you let go of the childhood inner you, then you've truly lost who you actually are in your soul and in your heart and your mind. That's just me.
That is very nice, because I'm incredibly immature.
I am too.
Laugh at the silliest thing. Yeah. And, you know, I probably will never let go of my inner child. And that is a great way to look at it. I mean, as I said, I've got some good people around me who are more than willing to tell me off when I'm not acting appropriately. Luckily, it's not happened yet, but I never want to be. I haven't got an ego. I would hate myself to have an ego of any sort. I'm very grateful. I've been brought up to be very polite, as you know, that's the British way. But
yeah,
in my years of being a blogger, I've met people that I aspire to be like, and I've met a few people who I don't want to be like. And I think when you meet those people, it's more effective, because you want to be the best person of yourself and not become, you know, the villain of your own story.
I love it. I love it. It's amazing. I love it every time. Oh, it's hopefully people are at home right now getting some really good, like, hopefully they're getting some really good stuff from this show with this. And speaking of which, though, and I'll mention on the show, personal shout out to Michael Rosenbaum, because speaking of Smallville, by the way, do you listen to Inside of You?
I have listened to it since the beginning.
Because, right, same.
He's still been a fantastic host from day one, but he has only improved along the way. And I've definitely picked up a few of his techniques of answering questions, but also listening to the answers. That is key.
Exactly.
But I met him at London Film and Comic Con, I want to say 2017, so before the Geek of Steel really took over. Mm-hmm. But he was heavily promoting Inside of You there back then. Everybody who came and got an autograph, he gave them a little business card that was signed, and he was like, "Oh, please go and subscribe to the Inside of You podcast." Oh. And I was like, "I already do, but I'm going to go and tell all my friends to do the same." But each and every guest that he has had on has, you know, I would love for one day, Mike, to have a guest on and we can really get down to the nitty gritty of what makes them tick. But I think he gets his guests into this sort of place of comfort where they forget there's a microphone in front of them, because he gets some really, especially the two times that Zachary Levi's been on.
Yeah.
That guy has had not the best of lives, but has become this iconic figure of positivity and this ambassador for mental health. And you think you've gone from that state in your life to this place, and it's inspiring to hear that. But every podcast that Michael puts out is fantastic.
I think there's one more thing to add to that, though.
And what's that?
His honesty about himself.
Yeah, he's had a life as well, but goodness me.
Yeah, it's I try to incorporate that in too with mine. Of, I'm always open about stuff when, like, the situation comes up and whatnot, is, you know, like mental problems or anything like that, of like anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, sort of thing. I'm always like kind of conquering that, and I always on social media I try to like tell people, and people message me about it, and I always try to help people conquer that sort of thing, because believe it or not, people think I don't have anxiety at all, and they're like, "You do. You talk to these celebrities all the time. You do all these movies in front of cameras. You write comics. Like, you write 4 comic books." And when I do all this, I'm like, "Yeah, I have such high anxiety, but you have no idea." But it's like,
but that, figuring it out. And people, it's probably because we don't share that side of our life online. I mean, sometimes we do.
Yeah,
but especially the sort of the issues with anxiety. I wouldn't say it's crippling, but I do suffer with anxiety. I used to be quite introverted for a long time. Sort of Instagram for me was a mask. It was this force field. I was anonymous because I would never be in front of the camera. Be not sort of making videos or putting my face out in the real world. And I still suffer with it from now and again, but I've got all sorts of different techniques to sort of getting over it. And that's what I'm so thankful for, especially for my girlfriend, who, with I'll be honest, without her, none of this would happen.
Oh, you're going to kiss tonight.
But she's been my manager, my PA, my bodyguard, my publicist, and she's shown me not only that I am capable of greatness, but that I've got greatness within me that I didn't know I had. So when you're lucky enough to find someone in your life that brings out the best in you, that's when I feel that, yes, anything is possible when there is hope involved. But still doesn't mean to say that anxiety will never go away completely.
No, never does.
But if you've got techniques in place where that you can make yourself stronger, even if it be going away, playing some music, getting away from social media, taking a walk in the park, just everyone finds their own coping mechanism. And for me, it's many things. Maybe I will do a podcast on it one day. I've talked about mental health on the show before, but we all get moments where we don't think we're good enough, where we might think we're going to make a mistake. We might feel that we would let someone down. That's one of my biggest concerns, is that I've inspired someone, perhaps, but then I let that person down with an incorrect phrase or my actions or so. But that's why I'm so conscious about how I act online, because you don't know who's watching, you don't know who's listening, and you don't know who's looking up to you. So that's why I always tend to think, what would Superman do in this situation? And that normally gets me through it, and I end up making the right decision.
I love it, man. It's a beautiful story, and one, my hat's off to you for finding that special person too. Like, it's something that's rare, and it seems to be getting more and more rare these days, that in the world we live in, of like Tinder and all that jazz. And to be able to say that you've got that and you have that person, and to be able to be another building block on, like, on the big building that is you, or that another branch in the tree, more better way to put it. That big huge tree, because your tree's grown, to say the least, here, and we could take that a whole dirty way as much as you want, but
leave it alone.
Oh, God damn it.
There we go. But, and that's it. I mean, yes, it all started though with Instagram, and everything that comes from that. Instagram is my favorite platform to use, because it's what I use to begin with. But whatever it comes from, Instagram was my baby. That's where it all began from. So everything else from that is, I will take with open arms, because you never know where it's going to take you. It's an adventure, and it continues to be an adventure. And I've already planned a few things for 2020 that I can't divulge at this moment in time. There are, especially towards the end of the year next year, I'm very excited for.
Man of Steel 2?
Oh, yeah. if that was the case, I would drop everything to promote it, but I'm still holding on for Man of Steel 2. Maybe, hopefully, he can both film The Witcher at the same time.
He would die. Let us be honest here, Luke. There's no way that Henry Cavill could handle that.
I mean, he's a tough lad. He's quite physically capable.
Yeah, but that's like too... you know what? I've seen it done before. Yeah, never mind. that could happen. And I'm thinking, like, no, wait a minute. You do want Man of Steel 2 really bad, because you love that. Like, I do. As much as I love Man of Steel, man, I'll be honest with you, my first Superman, I'm curious, what is your first Superman? But mine was Smallville. But what is yours?
Well, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Superman movie, the original 78 movie, being on TV as a kid. So, you know, Superman is as famous as the Coca-Cola sign.
Oh my God, yes. Oh yeah.
You could go to sort of, you know, the middle of Delhi. You could go to the outbacks of Peru, and you would see someone there in a Superman t-shirt, or they would know who Superman is. So I knew him growing up, but it was Smallville that opened my eyes to the character, to the mythos. I talked about this when I was a guest on a podcast recently, is that when I first started watching Smallville, it was on a Sunday morning. This was before sort of really the internet was doing all it is doing now. Mm-hmm. And I was, I think, about 10 minutes in, I just flipped over the channel and started watching that pilot episode. And I was like, these characters sound familiar. And I was like, oh, this is cool. This is like young Superman.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this. And from that moment, I was hooked. Not only hooked on the storyline of Smallville, but through Smallville, I wanted to know more about the characters they were referencing, and I wanted to know their backstories. So I began picking up comics, and from then it was an easy gift for friends and family to buy me something Superman related.
Yeah.
And from there it just pretty much snowballed to what it is now. So going back to that, you know, always hold on to Smallville, that's where it started for me.
Yeah.
So if I ever got the possibility to have Mr. Welling on the podcast, or Mr. Rosenbaum, or anybody, I would get them on and I would just gush. I would be the biggest fanboy. I would try my hardest to stay as professional as possible, but I would more than likely cry.
Oh my god, the cry beforehand, a couple minutes before, you're like, all right, Luke, you can do this. No, you can't. Cry it out.
That's it. I'll just go off and blub for a bit and then come back.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, Smallville was where it really did sort of all begin for me. And I owe a lot to that show, the storyline. It got me through some bad times, and so I'm very grateful that it is a part of my life and always will be.
Hey, folks at home. This is your host, Dakota, here with a little bit of an ad break. Do you guys like the Comic Chronicle podcast, and do you like getting in-depth interviews with people of, moreover, not interviews, but conversations with people in the businesses? Well, guess what? If you love film and television, go check out the Film World podcast that I host on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and filmworld.podbean.com, because I get to talk to people all over from the business of film and TV, of actors, creature actors, writers, directors, cinematographers, all these people, VFX artists, hell. They all come onto the show. We give in-depth conversations about what they do. People from Jurassic World, Planet of the Apes, Transformers, Godzilla, numerous times, you know, and voice actors. And we give all these in-depth conversations with you guys from all sorts of ranges of different things on the Film World podcast. So if you guys like the Comic Chronicle podcast, you'll probably like Film World. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. And now back to the conversation at hand. You are the British version of me, I swear to you, sir, because it's the same over here, too. Because, it honestly, Smallville, I watched it, and I watched the season finale with my dad, and I rewatched it again a little bit before Man of Steel came out. And my sister and I, who's a relationship, we were always tight and whatnot, too, and then we kind of drifted a little bit apart. But Smallville really brought us together, and it opened her eyes to the DC Comics world, because she's now a fangirl. She's not super, but she, like... But hers, that she'll always remember, and I still got to get her a pop figure from it. I still got to get one. Is Erica Durance's Lois Lane. She loves Lois Lane. She loves the Superman mythos. It opened her up to the world of DC, and she loves the Superman character. She loves Batman a little bit more. She converted to Gotham. I hate her a little bit for it, but it's fine. It's not good. But she loves Lois. She's like, Lois is the man. She's like, she's inspiration. Her and Wonder Woman are the two big gals that you need to look for in a comic movie that's an inspirational, motivational woman in comics. Like,
oh, goodness, yes.
It's true. Like, it's 100%. Because Lois Lane, like, and especially Smallville Lois's Lane. You know, how she was.
I mean,
the true Lois Lane, in my opinion. Other than Superman 1.
I love Margot Kidder. I love Terry Hatcher. But Lois Lane, for me, the young Lois Lane of Smallville, Erica Durance, was just, from the moment we first see her in a scene, I think she was driving her car, listening to Whitesnake, smoking a cigarette. I was like, this girl's rather sassy.
Yeah.
And then every single scene where you see her progress from this sort of quite off the rails character, she found her role in Smallville. She then started working at the Planet. Yeah. Then there was the budding relationship between her and Clark. And I fell in love with her portrayal of Lois and the character of Lois and her tenacity and her attitude. And interviewing Erica at this year's Superman celebration was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
I was wondering about that, because...
Ever done. Oh. I mean, it's one of those... When I was asked to do it, I mean, I was going back to the celebration, and I got an email from the organisers about 2 weeks before that said, on the Saturday, we're hosting a panel on the main stage. Would you be interested in hosting the panel with Helen Slater and Erica Durant? And that's when the said yes without thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that email was sent, anxiety just cast its cape over me, and I was incredibly nervous.
Oh, yeah.
But I planned and planned and planned. I rehearsed. I went back and changed questions. I ran scenarios through my head, and luckily on the day it all went smoothly. And I explained to Erica on the day, I said, look, I've been a Smallville fan forever, and you are Lois Lane for me. If I call you Lois, please forgive me. Luckily it didn't
That's
happen.
Amazing.
But to be on a stage with Erica Durant and Helen Slater and talk about Smallville and Superman and Lois Lane, in that moment, it was sort of... The Geek of Steel took over in this situation. I mean, as Superman has got Clark Kent, sometimes Luke Bug has the Geek of Steel to fall back on.
Love it.
And as soon as I got on that stage, most of my nerves went away.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a deep breath as the advice that was given to me and had a fantastic time. Mm-hmm. And a moment that this blogging adventure could end tomorrow, but in my heart, I will know that I was once on a stage talking to Lois Lane and Supergirl.
Yeah.
And that's when you start embracing those passions, as we said earlier on, you literally, you never know where it could take you if you just open your arms to new situations and leaving comfort zones.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, kind of go to Mike Rosenbaum a little bit, because he has... helped me with my mental health a little bit. We had a Comic-Con experience. My sister and I did. Because I was like, you want to go to Comic-Con? She's like, who's going? I'm like, Michael Rosenbaum. She's like, I'm in. Because he's my Luthor, man. Like, Luthor, oh, God. Yeah. I can go off a whole episode about Smallville's Lex Luthor and Michael Rosenbaum. But when we met him, we were one of the third or fourth people in line to see him. We had comics and what we had the season 11 comics, which the people out there who don't know about it, Smallville season 11 comic book series, read it.
Oh. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's beautiful. And we went up there and he asked the names and he's like, what do you guys say? Oh, we're Dakota and Cheyenne. We're like huge fans and whatnot. I still got like the picture. I got the comic hanging up over here at my workshop. And we took pictures with him later on. And it was around 3-4 hours later, hundreds of people gone through the line. And he sat with us a minute or two and we talked and talk about how much we love Smallville, and he's a big actor, and you know, I follow him and the stuff he posts about. So it was right before Inside of You dropped, and I was actually just about starting. I was doing my own little podcast. It was Comics Chronicle was doing its own thing at the time. It was just talking about stuff before the universe opened up from the show of my career that is now, to say the least. And he's like, oh, name's Dakota Cheyenne. And I was wearing an Injustice 2 jersey, and she was wearing, I think she looked like Silent Bob, or no, she looked like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. And or something along those lines. It was weird. She was wearing something. I don't remember what. Oh, she was wearing a Harley Quinn t-shirt. I looked at the picture. And 4 or 5 hours later, we go in line. There's a bunch of people in front of us to do the private photo op. It's like, okay. We're like, this is the one we're going to pay for and do. Me and her take the picture. But as soon as he turns, he's like, oh, bye, guys. And he turns around and sees us. He opens up his arms. And he's like, Dakota, Cheyenne, get your ass over here. Like that. It blew us out of the park. And her and I just like melted. It was the moment of like
he makes, he does make the Comic Con experience a very fun and including place.
Oh yeah!
I mean, I've been to a few cons over the years where sometimes you will see some celebrities there that don't really want to be there. You can tell that they're there either just for the money aspect, or they've signed they're part of some promotional movie release contract where they have to attend a con.
Yeah,
but it's the people that want to be there, that want to interact with the fans that have grown up with them over the years, they're the ones that that would make that Comic-Con experience for you. Yeah. You can either make it or break it. And for me, seeing Michael Rosenbaum at my first major big con was like, yeah, this is my place. This is my people. This is where I need to be.
Yeah. If anybody listening to the show right now has not figured out that me and Luke would like him on our show, if you know him, because I know a lot of people who I think do know him listen to the show, so hey, big guys. Hey, Luke, you have open arms.
Reaching out.
Yeah, well, you know, I got Luke's email. We'll send it.
I would, anybody who wants to come onto my podcast, I am more than willing to make time for them. But if I could say sort of a 5-year plan, so to speak, if podcasts are still a thing in 5 years' time, I would love the opportunity to speak with everybody that worked, not only on Justice League Unlimited, but everybody that worked on Smallville as well. And I've been lucky enough to sort of be in touch with some people who would, I know a friend of a friend, so to speak. And who knows what might happen in the next few years, but I am willing to work at it for as long as possible.
I'm going to be the first one to tell you that you never know what's going to happen when you do a podcast, man. I guess the beauty... people listening... Excuse me, because there have been a lot of people recently coming at me because podcasts have been doing another renaissance since I started 2 years ago. And they are really, really hitting off. And like, luckily, I'm part of a network, all that other jazz. But with what's going on, people have been talking about it. And they're like, well, did you think you'd know what you'd be announced? Like, no, because you never know. Because if you would have gone back to when I did my first interview with my buddy Cameron Bowen, who we never finished that, he played Robin in Young Justice Season 2 and Season 3. And I brought him on, and he inspired me to do acting. And so I went to acting school. And then I did film. So now I work in art department, directing, writing, actor, voice actor, all this jazz because of him. And then also the show allowed me to meet some people who, for a comic book, indie comic book company, where I now write 2 published, well, 4 technically, but the other 2 are coming out soon, comic books of my own creations. And then I get to talk to J.M. DeMatteis the other day.
Like, I saw that. I was listening to that one earlier on today, and I was like, dude, you did a good job there.
Thank you. And talking about creativity with the dude, it was like, all this sort of jazz. And like, we had to talk about Constantine, of course, Justice League Unlimited, but, and then bring on people from Young Justice, people who, from all over, Marvel, DC, Dave B. Mitchell, you know, all these people. Like, if you go back, I had a few people on from this. I don't know how far back you went, Luke, but I talked to a bunch who are still my friends from the Spider-Man PS4 game. Oh. To be able to say I got friends like those and who helped me out and I helped them out is amazing. And so I would never have believed you. Be like, you have celebrity friends. You have people. You're a comic book writer. Your dreams. And you're now in filmmaking because of it. There's just no way. There's none.
And that's it. I mean, it is odd to think sort of how far we sort of, you know, how far one's own story goes. But when you look back at it and see what you've done and what you've achieved, it's things that you should never take for granted. And I know you don't, and I know I don't. But it is good to go back and look at where you started and the mistakes you've made. But the accomplishments that you've made happen. And you have created for your, sort of yourself, you know, you've made this work for you. And the only sort of comment that tends to upset me online, and I rarely get upset or reply to negative comments, is when someone says, you're so lucky. And now it's that classic old phrase of the harder you work, the luckier you get. And people don't sort of necessarily look at all the behind-the-scenes work that one does, whether it's the constant emails and phone calls and text messages and changing and editing articles or making videos or making posts. Yes, it's hard work, but we enjoy it. But we enjoy, I think, the basis of it is that we enjoy creating. And this podcast journey of mine, I mean, I love to learn new things. And I've started off, you know, just recording my voice. That has gone from that to a podcast, to editing, to there's only me on this side of the computer. I'm the editor, the PA, the marketing. I'm all that. Mm. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love the work.
Well, that's it. We do what we do. Honestly, I'm the only one on this side of things on my side anyway. My producer helps out. So it's like, Luke, we're like long-lost brothers, I swear to God. But it's
but we
true.
Appreciate the hustle, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yes. You have to. You have to enjoy. You know, there's so many nights where I come home from my day job that I do too, because obviously film doesn't pay that much in Arizona fully, and comics are their own thing. But is it come home and they're like, you worked a 9-hour shift and 2 hours to get home, 2 hours to get there? It's like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm hustling. I'm doing my work. I'm doing my work for the podcast, both of them. I'm doing my work for whatever it may be. I am writing my journal for a book series, you know, doing that stuff. There's like for another 8 or 9 hours, and then you get a couple hours of sleep, and it's like, I enjoy it. I enjoy creating because I think I always say stay creative. I've started saying that recently on my Instagram and on my Twitter and Facebook as well too when I do creative posts, because I always tell people this, and I realized this when I was fixing myself, well, not fixing, but making myself better mentally and physically and whatnot, is creativity is the best therapy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's one of those where you, if you create and you love creating, and even if you're not good at it, and people are like, oh, it's okay and whatnot, but you still love doing it, keep doing it. Because it's for you.
Creativity could be anything, for goodness sake. It could be going down and drawing a doodle. It could be writing a short story. It could be learning origami. It could be literally anything that takes you out of a situation and you just make something. Mm-hmm. You put pen to paper. You put paint to canvas. You could just get away from yourself by creating something. But when you see that finished product, whether it be a silly internet meme or an article or an interview or a podcast, when you hit that final post or publish button, the sense of accomplishment that I get is the reason I keep doing it. Even if just one person was listening to my podcast, I'll still do it because I get so much enjoyment out of it.
I love it. Luke, I love it with a passion, man. It's always fun to bring people like yourself on and be able to talk about this stuff, because people don't often get... Yeah, we talk about comics and stuff like too, obviously on the show, but it's fun. People be like, what? You sure? You're like Kevin Smith's Batman on Batman. It's not my... listen. Which, by the way, love Kevin Smith with passion, huge inspiration of mine too. But is you got to mention these stuff out there to people and put it out in the ether. And a lot of mine, I do a little bit on social media as well. I do more and more and more as the days go on. But there's a lot of the private messaging. There's a lot of people who message me directly or come up to me directly, and we have these conversations. And from there on, it's beautiful to see where they go, because you plant the seed in their head. All right, dirty jokes. You can do whatever you want, but you plant the seed in their head. And then you go from there, and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I've seen people recently pop up, as you've probably have too, and maybe they talk to you or they commented a lot, and then you see what they're doing now, and it's like they got a following. They're creating stuff. They're doing what they love, and they're like, I found my true passion. Like, you find that, you just roll with it. You go with the waves, because obviously there's downs, there's ups, but especially with creativity and artists, no matter, like, you jump by everyone together, we're all artists.
Yeah.
And we have a hard life, and people may not see it sometimes in the closed doors, but we still do it because we love it, and we love affecting people. Like, Luke, I'm not going to lie to you. My dream, one of my big highlights, things I ever always want to do is be able to have a, and my books are so far digital only, is but to be able to have one of my comics, no matter what company, my own or whatever, anything that I wrote for, to be able to be picked up by somebody in a bookstore, to be able to see that and then have them read it, maybe smile or smirk or something like that, and take it.
It'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I want, when it does happen, and it will happen, I want a signed copy.
Fair enough. I mean, they're all free right now, so it's gonna kill me a little bit to be like, they're all money now, folks. Like, no! But you will get a signed...
But it will happen. Oh, because we've only been speaking a little bit online recently, but I can get a good vibe from someone pretty quick. That is my superpower, I believe. But I can sense your passion and your commitment to creativity, whether it be with the podcast or your comics or your writing. But I can tell you're determined and you've got a fire within you that I hope never goes out, because when that flame starts to flicker, that is when you don't put as much passion or energy into the work you're creating, and that's when the work isn't as good as it once was. So this fire that is within you, I hope I can put my flame to it, because you are an inspiration.
Thank you, Luke. That honestly, it means the world to me. And it's the same with you. It's good, sir. I see it, and I've seen it for a long time, and you have it. And it's never going to go out. Yours is as bright as can be, man. And I honestly take everything, because we're coming near the end of the show here, I will tell you. But that hit me pretty hard, because, and I hope people listening can also realize the potentially the creativity within themselves, because it's there. No matter who you are, you could be, there's people who I know that they will never admit it. Some have. That have worked, like, I used to just be a fast food worker, right? And just a kid who never talked to anybody. And I was a quiet kid. And then you come out and it's like, you're doing this, Jazz. And there's people who I know who work at Warner Brothers as big characters. Or they've worked at DC and Marvel and such like that. And they say, yeah, I used to just be a clerk. Or I used to just be a guy flipping burgers. I write or I draw comics full time now. Or I play characters. I get to play pretend for full living here. And I never knew until this thing happened or that thing happened. That's why I always ask a person their origin stories a little bit. And we did touch upon yours a little bit. But it's like, whenever that happens, it's those origins are always important.
Always. And that's it. And I mean, that's why I think this, me being a guest on other people's podcasts, it's fun, because I get to talk about sort of the, as you said, my origin story. So I think this episode was a lot of fun. Thank very you. Eye-opening. But if you'd have me, I'd love to come back on, and in the next one, if we'll try and rein it back in, just so we can talk about Superman and our fandoms.
Oh,
because this has just been a fantastic introduction to your podcast and me rambling on about my crazy life. But I'd love to come back on and talk about what makes us tick.
I 100% would love that. And if you need anybody for your show too, as a huge DC Comics guy, obviously, we have a show coming up. And I know it's going to be heavily reviewed, but I believe if we get together our own team, and you know what I'm talking about, we got a crisis on our hands.
I certainly do, sir. I certainly do. One of the parts of on the podcast when I was speaking with Susan, I pitched my idea to her about how, obviously, Kevin Conroy is going to be on the show, which is fantastic.
Oh,
you know,
lovely man.
The world's Batman.
Yeah.
And I was like, Susan, why aren't you on the show? Why aren't the whole Justice League on there? And she said, well, there's this and this. And I said, well, if there was a scene in the episode where there's a huge round table, lots of empty seats, and Batman just standing up with a conference call, and we could hear all the original voice actors who played all the other heroes, sort of that way you could at least get all the Justice League onto the show without them technically being on camera. She was like, Luke, I love that idea. Let's make it happen.
Oh, my God. You can't see me. Folks at home, we're doing voice, and I didn't put the face cam thing on there, but I accidentally clicked the wrong button. But you, Luke, you cannot see my face of the giant... massive nerd grin on my face, and everyone at home listening right now in the car, wherever they may be, we just nerdgasms all around.
I'm trying to, I think I'm gonna have to sort of try and edit that part out of the podcast and make it as its own single post, in the hopes that we can get that to the powers that be with enough time that they add that scene to the show.
Oh my God, there's people who listen to the show that work on the CW and work on Arrow, Flash, and all them. So come on,
just
people.
A little name in the credits for myself would be fantastic. Thank you very much. I don't need payment for this one. You can have the first one for free, but I'm going to charge you for the second one.
IMDb credit, Luke Bug, co-writer, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Geek advisor to the stars.
Oh, my God. No, man, we're coming into the show here, and I do want to say thank you again for coming on to the show, man. You're definitely welcome back. We're having you back on, because whenever it may be, when we get the free time coming on. And also, I'm going to put it on record, is I'm going to try to put you in context with some folks at the CW I know. I'm going to try. Good chat.
Yes, and now I've not got my face cam on, but yes, that's giving me the tingles, as they say in the trade.
Awesome. I love it, man. Where can people, you know, we talked about it a little bit. We mentioned it at the beginning of the show. Where can people find you on the big, bad social media that you got? The cool bad, not the not bad bad. The cool
the
bad.
Good, the good bad. The yeah. good good. So Instagram, it is The Geek of Steel. Twitter is the same, The Geek of Steel. Facebook is just Geek of Steel. And you can find my podcast at thegeekofsteel.com. But basically, if you just Google Geek of Steel, you're going to find me somewhere.
I love it. I love it. And folks, you can follow me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter or at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram. I don't have a cool of an Instagram as he does, I'll be honest. But as Luke, he is pretty much a good one. But still, thank you, man, for coming on the show.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been fun, and that is what you know. That's what I'm all about. So I would gladly come back on, and we'll come back with perhaps some bullet points next time, so we can really dive into what makes us tick.
It's true. All right, and stay classy, Metropolis.